Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guests on this edition are Scaffolding Theater Company co-director Justin Lucero and Amanda Bradford, theater performer, to talk to us about a special performance of Disney's Beauty and the Beast in conjunction with New Mexico State University Theater Arts. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Well, Disney's Beauty and the Beast is great for kids and adults as well. This performance is going to be held January 13th, 14th, and 15th here at ASNMSU's Center for the Arts. And also, Justin, where else is it going to be held?
We're actually, for the first time, having two additional stops other than the Las Cruces. We're doing Socorro, New Mexico at the Macy Center at NM Tech's campus, and two nights in El Paso at Plaza's Philanthropy Theater in February.
And Amanda, you're going to have a special performance. What is it you're going to be doing?
Well, I'm performing as Mrs. Potts and a few other cast members as well. Because we are a small cast, we are each tasked with a number of roles, which makes it really interesting and exciting for us.
And how long have you been performing?
Oh, gosh, since I was in second grade and I was in Peter Pan at my elementary school, directed by the late, great Art Haggerton. And I majored in music and did a lot of theater in college before switching to a degree and a career in journalism. But I still like to do it on the side whenever I have an opportunity.
Well, Justin, as the co-founder of Scaffolding Theater Company, founded in 2014 with your co-founder, Megan McQueen of Las Cruces.
Yes, yeah, so Megan and I met as a part of a production in El Paso. She and I both are frequent performers, or had been frequent performers, with the UTEP Dinner Theater. And we are now best friends and colleagues. Ever since then, we knew that we were kindred spirits in the theater world. And we decided that the kind of theater we wanted to produce in our area, being from El Paso and Las Cruces, meant that we should probably start our own company. So Megan and I took a plunge in 2014, and now we're on our fourth musical production. Amanda's been a part of three of those four shows. And we are doing our particular brand of theater as a way to bring professionals and novices together in the same process. We really want to try to open the eyes of the people in the company or watching our work into what theater can do and be. And we are really interested in the process of putting a show together more than just the product of the show. And I like how Amanda puts it. She says that as a result of how much we put into our process, the product always turns out pretty proud for us.
But how many people are in this production?
We have 10 performers total and 3 band members. But of the 10 cast members, I would say more than 50% of them are affiliated with NMSU. About 5 of them are students. And then, of course, we have Megan as one of the directors. She's a faculty member. Amanda works at NMSU. Algernon Damasa, one of our actors, is also one of the adjunct members at the theater arts department. So many of us have an affiliation with NMSU. There's an El Pasoan, a child actor in our cast, who is a part of the show, and she's really exciting to be working with also. So we have also some students who are about to join NMSU or just left NMSU as well.
Many people do know what Disney's Beauty and the Beast performance is all about, but for those who may never have seen it, tell me a little bit about it.
Well, Beauty and the Beast, the Disney cartoon, came out in the early 90s. And
exactly 25 years ago.
Yes, and was just such an innovative approach to the story. As Disney always is, it brought in all of these new elements, some computer graphics, some marvelous singing. And not too long after that movie, which a lot of us in our age group at least are have a lot of really fond childhood memories of, there was a Broadway production of it as well, which is of course the script that that we're using. And the next sort of iteration of this storytelling from Disney's point of view will be coming out in March. March, a new live action version of the story with Emma Watson and a fantastic cast as well. So the timing of our production really builds on that 25th anniversary and this new live action film that's coming out. But it's just a story that really is so captivating, like you said, for kids and for adults as well. A beautiful love story and a story about outcasts finding a place to belong and finding confidence in themselves to be themselves.
Well, this is something great to start the new year with.
Absolutely. And as Amanda was saying, the film was an interesting approach. One of the first times ever that for an animated film, they treated it as a Broadway musical. And so it made sense to everyone that it would eventually become a Broadway musical. Unfortunately, the Broadway musical had some difficulties in bringing to life an animated film about talking teapots, clocks, candles, a beast. And so a lot of people left the theater watching it in New York unsatisfied that it wasn't doing the magic that they found from the film. And so when we decided to tackle Beauty and the Beast, we knew right away that we would not be rehashing the way it normally is done on stage. And it's one of the most produced musicals in the nation for student productions, community theater productions, and even professional productions. So we are taking a radical new approach to the play. And that's one of the most exciting things that I think audience members that come watch will take away from it. We are using a tradition of object theater. So our actors will not be transforming into life-size versions of clocks and teapots, but instead they'll be using actual clocks, teapots, candlesticks, teacups as an extension of their own bodies and be a character as almost like a puppeteer. And you would see, because of the show itself talks about the human within the object, you will actually see the human and the object simultaneously. And we've decided, instead of a lavish, giant 30-member cast, we would do an intimate 10-person cast, as Amanda said, everyone doubling in multiple roles, and everyone will have a chance to always be featured, always be supported, and have a really fun time showing off not only acting and singing, but some puppetry, some choreography, and some old-fashioned emotion and love with the audience.
And that that innovative approach is kind of the hallmark of what scaffolding has done from the beginning, and where it's gotten a lot of attention, even nationally. It's been written up in Playbill.com, which is one of the premier publications for Broadway theater, for its recent production of Chicago, which again took a widely produced, well-known, well-loved piece of theater and kind of turned it on its ear, did something really different with it. In this case, it was staging it in a women's prison, sort of capitalizing on the current popularity of Orange is the New Black and pairing it up with something that just feels like a natural fit, and really coming up with something totally innovative. And that's really been the approach that Megan and Justin have taken with everything, from their inaugural production of Nine, which we placed the audience on the stage with the actors and used the house, the beautiful house at the Center for the Arts with its gorgeous murals on the ceiling and its beautiful chairs and everything as the scenery, as the backdrop for it. So trying something different with it is really not different at all for scaffolding. It's what they've done from the very beginning, which is why they keep finding me turning up, trying to be in their production.
Well, I see you have a lot of passion about being in the play and doing different plays, as well as being part of the media to tell us about what is going on. And what is it that you hope folks will take away when they leave the theater?
Well, Scaffolding Theater Company, as Amanda said, has an aim to show people what theater can be. And one of the reasons Megan and I chose Beauty and the Beast is because it is a story about story. It is a fairy tale. And the approach that we've taken with the show is a family putting on a story for themselves. And so we hope that the audience will go on this journey with us, embrace the fact that we are really hitting home, we are telling you a story. We're being very transparent in how we're telling the story. We're not doing the traditional theatrical duping of an audience into 100% accepting that we are a beast, because everybody knows the actor isn't really an animal. So we like the audience knowing the hidden ways of putting on shows. And we really want them to leave knowing that, wow, I've never seen theater approached this way. I've definitely never seen Disney approached this way. And it's hopefully going to infuse and capture audiences' imaginations in a way that we don't think they've ever been captured before.
And we're really asking a lot of our audience in, and we're putting a lot of trust in them that they're willing to suspend their disbelief in a different way that we hope will be more effective for them and give them a better sense of the story than coming out dressed as big teapots and clocks and human-sized candlesticks could ever do.
And who is the Beast?
Well, that's a wonderful question. And it's been cast by a theater arts student. His name is Mario
Regazzoni.
But Mario has worked with us before in our past production with Amanda in Passion, the musical. And he's really taking ownership of this new approach to the Beast. We don't want to give it away, but we have a radical reinterpretation of what the Beast can be. And it all stems, again, from the story. We all know and have an idea of what a beast is or what an inner beast can be. And it doesn't have to be a big, tall, fur costume. It could be something different, and I think the audience will embrace it.
Well, they'll have to come out to know and find out what it is, right? So this is going to be on January the 13th at 7:30 p.m., January the 14th at 7:30 p.m., and on the 15th at 2:30 p.m. at NMSU's Theater Arts, and that's at the ASNMSU Center for the Arts.
Tickets are available. The box office at the ASNMSU Center for the Arts will be open from noon to 4, Wednesday through Saturday for those 2 weeks, plus an hour before the box office.
And Amanda, for our special friends in Socorro and El Paso, tell us about those dates.
So our performance in Socorro, again, is at the Macy Center on the New Mexico Tech campus. That's January 28th. And if you miss our January performances, right down the road in El Paso, we'll be at the Plaza Philanthropy Theater on February 11th and 12th. And the times and ticket information and more details about the show are all available on the Scaffolding Theater Company website, which is www.scaffoldingtheatrecompany.com.
And do you have a Facebook page as well?
Yes, it's very active. It is Scaffolding Theater Company. So facebook.com/Scaffolding Theater Company. Again, theater with an R-E.
Well, thank you so much for coming out to Puentes, being a bridge to the community.
Really appreciate you having us.
You're welcome.
Thank
Amanda
you.
Bradford, theater performer, and of course, co-founder and co-director, Justin Lucero of Scaffolding Theater Company.
Thank you. We look forward to having all of you come watch.
Yes.
You're welcome. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.